Now we continue in our detailed study of the book of Revelation in section 33, page 33, Revelation chapter 14 in verse 8. The second angel of Revelation 14, the fall of Babylon. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Is fallen. That is a reference to both religious Babylon and political Babylon. Religious Babylon is fallen by the midpoint of the tribulation. The fall of political Babylon is near at hand. So here we have a preview of the fall of political Babylon. Revelation chapter 16, verses 18 and 19 reads, And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And again in Revelation 18, 2 and 3, And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So the actual timing of the fall of religious Babylon, which we'll get into a little bit more detail in when we get to Revelation chapter 17, the actual timing is the midpoint of the tribulation, with the advent of the worship of the beast instituted at that time. That which we studied in detail in Revelation chapter 13. So the placement of the fall of Babylon being proclaimed by the second angel in the book of Revelation chapter 14 keeps the book near to its chronological order. Revelation chapter 14 verses 9 through 13 deals with the third angel of Revelation chapter 14. Choose which side you're on. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So here we have a call to decision offered up by the third angel of Revelation chapter 14. Those who willingly choose to accept the mark of the beast are going to be lost forever. That is an irrevocable decision. Those folks will experience eternal torment with fire and brimstone. This is what is spoken of in the book of Revelation as the second death in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I hope for those committed Christians hearing this message right now, I certainly hope that this spurs you on to share your hope in Christ. Notice in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And we've got a couple of cross references here. The faith of Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Should be a familiar gospel passage for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. There it is. That's the faith in Christ Jesus. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the second reference we have here comes from the book of Matthew and the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, right? Here is the patience of the saints, John writes, and this is certainly an allusion to what Christ said in the Olivet Discourse. Now, we read in verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So that from now on is a reference to the last half of the second of the 7-year tribulation. Remember, we said that Revelation chapter 14 is interpolative. In other words, it is found at the midpoint of the tribulation, and it's interpolated there. So in the context of the entire book, in the chronological order of the book of Revelation, this is dealing with a special blessing for those martyrs of the Great Tribulation. And we read that their works follow them. At the end of verse 13, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. And this speaks of believers' rewards. So we read there, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Well, how can the works of the dead follow them? Well, we have the answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And the works will follow the saints to the place where the evil one can't touch them. And that is in heaven. So we're dealing with the rewards of believers. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, and we're talking about works, right? Verse 11 is the faith. So we're dealing with saved people, true believers in Jesus Christ. So if anyone builds on this foundation, that is the acceptance of the Christian faith, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, certain folks like to teach that this is talking about the purgatory, but the Bible talks about a passing from death into life, and Jesus said it in John chapter 5, verse 24, and there are many other such passages that deal with that. So there's only two places you can go. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31 is another one. I think we've covered it at some point earlier on in this study. But suffice it to say, the works that are going to follow these folks are going to be their rewards, heavenly rewards. Now, we don't work for our salvation. What Jesus Christ did at Calvary is enough for our salvation. So what we're working for on this earth is rewards. So we do it. We don't do it so much for the reward as we do it because Christ first loved us. In fact, we read earlier in the book of Revelation about how the saints were casting their crowns at the feet of Jesus. So whatever rewards we get are really going to pale in comparison to the glory and the work that our Savior has done. And because He first loved us, we love Him, and we want to just give those things right back to Him, because we don't have anything else to give when we either now or when we get up there to heaven. So this is what it means by resting from our labors and allowing that work to follow us into heaven. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 20. And then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So here we're dealing with the judgment. The judgment of God through his Son, this is Jesus, is at hand. And we have a reference here in the Old Testament book of Joel, the Old Testament prophet Joel. That's right after Hosea. You got Daniel, then Hosea, and then Joel. Joel chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Read this way. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So this passage in Joel is the backdrop to these verses in the book of Revelation. So we see how Scripture fits so perfectly together. Now, in this passage, the extended passage, let's deal with one more thing. I'm actually going to go out of sequence here in the outline, 35D. And I want to take a look at the Gospel of John, which is dealing with the multitudes in the Valley of Decision. And let's take a look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38. John 4, 34 through 38. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So there's an application for believers in that day. We're going to be rejoicing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So we're a party to the Lord's work of the harvesting of souls. What a privilege that we have to be able to do that as Christian believers. Now, Revelation 14, 17, and 18 reads, "And then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." Wow. So in this passage, we've got three angels. Verse 15, another angel crying with a loud voice, right? Verse 16, he who sat on the cloud, that's Jesus Christ. That's not an angel. That's Jesus Christ in verse 16. Verse 17, we've got another angel. Verse 18, we've got another angel. So we've got the Lord and an angel working with the Lord. And then we've got two judgment or destroyer angels, if you will, in verses 17 and 18. So those who will not be of the first harvest in verse 16 are going to be harvested for the purpose of divine judgment. Their identification is not going to be with the Lord in the Lord's harvesting of souls. It is going to be an identification with the judgment. So as we continue, we're going to look at how this relates to something very early on in the gospel, set in the context of John the Baptist and his ministry at the time when Jesus was baptized.